Good evening, everyone, and welcome to St. James Westminster. My name is Steve Hollowitz, and I'm the music director here at St. James. Tonight's concert is part of our chamber music series, where we offer the venue to performing artists, and you offer donations that go to them directly. So we hope you'll be generous at the plates at either entrance, especially if you really enjoy yourselves tonight. You can go back and donate a little bit more afterwards. I have a couple of programs here. Is anybody in need of a program at the moment? Everybody's okay? Fantastic. There are also some brochures on the music stands at either entrance outlining some upcoming services for the Easter season, and our brochure of music at St. James, Brassroots, and London Pro Musica call this church home for rehearsals and performances. And we have a very special presentation of Oliver Whitehead's All Creatures Mass on Earth Day, April 22nd. So that's all on the green brochure if you're interested in picking one up. But right now, I think we're ready to start. This is the third time Raymond and Fiona have been here at St. James. The first has the auspicious identification, I guess, of being the last event before COVID here. It was a recital that Raymond and Fiona gave in February of 2020. And then with Fiona's persistence, we snuck a concert in December of 2021. And now this is their third time back. So we're delighted to have them, and we're delighted to have such a wonderful and warm audience for their presentation tonight. So a very warm welcome for Fiona Robson and Raymond Truong.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. Raymond and I are thrilled to be here, our third recital that we've played at St. James Westminster since 2020. This is an extra special one for us because it's part of our very first tour. You're the last stop on a five-stop Canadian concert tour that we've just been playing this past week. We've played in Toronto, Guelph, McDonald's Corners, Halifax, and we're very happy to be here to finish in London. And we're very grateful to the support of Canada Council for the Arts for this tour. As you probably have seen, this program is a bit of a special one. We're calling it Sound and Color, Pictures at a 21st Century Exhibition. And we'll be explaining to you as we go, but most of the pieces on this program were inspired by works of art, and we'll be showing you the works of art and talking a bit about the history and all that to go along with it. So Raymond will present the very first piece.
So the very first piece we'll be performing for you tonight is called the Sonata for Cello and Piano, written by Claude Debussy. Debussy was born and active during this time called the Impressionist era. And this era was led by painters. And what they did in their paintings was very revolutionary. They would use these broad, vibrant brushstrokes to paint images, and they would use colors and these brushstrokes to create certain effects to evoke emotions or a certain ambiance. Now, what they did with their brushstrokes was that they didn't paint these details. So you cannot see the details of the ship. You do see that there's a ship, a little boat, actually, on the ocean. You see that there's a sun in the background, but you don't really see much else. You don't see where the horizon is, but you see that these colors show you that, hey, this is the early morning, or maybe during the sunset. Well, spoilers, Claude Monet named this Impressions Sunrise, so it's actually in the morning. So very much like Monet, Debussy, he composed his music without very detailed melodies. So you wouldn't hear something like Beethoven's Vier Lieds, for example. For those of you who know the Vier Lieds, he just keeps repeating this melody over and over again, telling us, hey, this is the melody. Hey, this is the harmony. It's very clear where the melody is. For Debussy, it might not be so clear. When you listen to him, you might find moments where he uses colors on the cello or colors on the piano to evoke certain characters or emotions or moods and atmospheres. Maybe some parts might feel a bit sneaky. Some parts might feel very ambiguous, like, oh, we're not sure where we are. And that's Debussy. And so when you listen to this piece and when we perform for you, I want you to try to think of what kind of emotions are you feeling? What kind of character is Debussy painting? through the colors of the piano and the cello. So here it is, the cello for sonata and piano by Claude Debussy.
Thank you.
Thank you. The second piece on our program was written by a Canadian composer named Euphrosyne Kiefer. She composed this piece in 1970, and she was inspired by a set of medieval tapestries for this work. So the piece is called La Dame à la Licorne, which means The Lady and the Unicorn. The set of tapestries has the same name. And so there's six tapestries. Five of them represent the five senses. So there's sight, that's the one you'll see on the screen, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and a mysterious sixth tapestry that's written à mon seul désir, or to my only desire, which there's lots of debate, speculation about what this one represents, but something to do with love, I think. So Euphrosyne Kiefer, she was inspired by these tapestries for the piece. There's six movements. We'll be playing the first four for you today. I think she was definitely inspired by the visuals of these tapestries, the amazing flowers in the backgrounds, all sorts of animals. There's actually some detailed prints of the tapestries put up around the church that you can look at intermission. Because the amazing thing about these works in real life, they're about four times bigger than that. They're huge and they're in amazing condition. The colors are so vibrant and it's really spectacular to see the details up close. But the other interesting thing about the composition is that she was also inspired by the music that comes from the time of these tapestries. So they were made in 1500, which was the Renaissance era. So at that time, a lot of music was sacred music. If you think of Gregorian chants, monks singing in old abbeys, that sort of thing. And she gave us an even more specific clue as to where her inspiration came from in the second movement. She wrote out two sentences in Old French in our parts that we won't be singing for you, but they were helpful for us to learn a bit more, understand a bit more about where this piece came from. So these two sentences translate to, "The girl who has no friends," and "to my sweet love." And when we searched up these sentences in their Old French, we found that they came from love songs by Franco-Flemish composer Guillaume Dufay, who was writing exactly around the same time that these tapestries were made. And when we listened a bit to Dufay's music, we found a lot of similarities between this piece and his music. Obviously, this piece written in 1970, she was inspired by the style from the Renaissance. She borrowed melodic fragments and these dance-like rhythms, but then she cut it up and put it back together in a very modern language. But the inspiration is definitely there. And I really love to imagine that maybe in 1500, when these tapestries were made, the French noble family who ordered them, maybe they knew Guillaume Dufay's music too. Maybe the ones who were weaving them in Belgium were whistling some of his tunes back and forth. Who knows? But it's possible that these melodies were there when these tapestries were created. They inspired Euphrosyne Kiefer in 1970, and now you will hear some fragments of them tonight. We'll be playing the first four movements, sight, hearing, smell, and taste.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm very excited to perform for you this next piece. It's by Modest Mussorgsky. And why am I so excited? It's because, well, we're going on a tour in an art museum. Now, Modest Mussorgsky, he went on a tour in an art museum in Moscow, and he saw these paintings that really fascinated him. So he composed music for each of these paintings that he saw. He had such a great experience. He even enjoyed the walk from painting to painting. So he composed music to him walking from painting to painting too. So we will start on a tour, starting with a walk, and then we'll see four paintings. Unfortunately, the original paintings are lost, but I have taken the liberty to select four paintings from the internet to best represent each one of these movements. Before I perform each movement, we'll be displaying the painting for 3 seconds, and I want you to look at the painting and think to yourself, what could be the character of this movement? What would it sound like? Would it sound happy, scary, funny, romantic? So think about it, and then you will confirm your suspicions through the piano once I play it. Maybe you'll be right, maybe you'll be very far off. But either way, I think it's a good way to really understand how painting and art inspire each other. With that being said, let's start on our tour.
Thank you.
For this final movement, I think it deserves a bit of discussion. So, this movement is titled The Hut on Chicken's Legs, or Fowl's Legs, subtitled Baba Yaga. Now, for those of you who do not know who Baba Yaga is, it's the boogeyman, or the big bad witch in Russian folklore mythology. And what happens in this story, in this myth, in this legend, is that children would wander into the forest, into a forest where Baba Yaga lives and Baba Yaga's hut. Whenever the children come in, the hut would stand up on its two chicken legs and it would orient itself so that the front, the entrance of this hut will always be facing the direction of which the children are coming from. So that whenever the children stumble into this forest, they'll always see this nice welcoming entrance of this hut. And then they will walk into this hut. And for the past four concerts, I didn't tell anyone what happens to these children because there were always children in there. But I'm looking in the audience today and I see that there are no children. I think finally the truth needs to be let out. So what Baba Yaga does is Baba Yaga puts the children into this mortar and it grinds it up with a pestle and then eats the children. That's a bit too graphic, I think, for young children. But this is actually what happens. Those Russians, huh? So, in this movement, you'll hear that there will be a chase, a very obvious chase. And I want you to decide whether or not, at the end of this chase, do the children get out alive, or are they grinded up in the mortar and pestle?
Thank you.
Okay. Just a warning before we go on to the next piece. The painting associated with this piece deals with difficult themes of colonialization and depicts police violence against indigenous people. So just so you're all aware before I show the painting in a couple minutes. So this is a piece by Canadian composer Ian Cussin. Ian Cussin is Métis and French-Canadian, and he lives in Oakville. And he wrote this piece as a musical reflection on a painting by Kent Monkman, who is a Cree painter, a really important figure on the Canadian and international scene. Kent Monkman describes his work as dealing with historical and contemporary Indigenous experiences, and often what he does is recreate or reimagine historical events and either inserting Indigenous people into situations where they weren't or reversing the roles that were there when it happened. Often he does this with a lot of humor, but not always, as is the case with the painting that Ian Cussin wrote the piece after. So this painting is called La Pietà, and it depicts an Indigenous woman on the ground holding the body of an Indigenous man in her arms with a riot police officer attacking them. And here's the painting. This title, La Pietà, it's an Italian word. It means pity or compassion. La Pietà in Western Christian art history describes depictions of the Virgin Mary holding the body of Christ in her arms. That's a theme that's been repainted and sculpted hundreds, thousands of times since medieval times. There's a really beautiful sculpture by Michelangelo of a Pietà. There's many, many depictions. And so looking at this Pietà, we can see the similarities in the composition, the characters. And I think also the title, La Pietà, compassion, he's asking us to think about the compassion that's present or lacking in this painting between the subjects of the painting, maybe between us and the subjects of the painting or between this country and the subjects of the painting. So the title really adds a depth to this painting, a very powerful message. And so Ian Cussin wrote his piece as a musical reflection of this painting. So it's not necessarily supposed to be interpreted as a soundtrack to the images that we see. It rather expresses in music the emotions that we might feel when looking at the painting or thinking about it. So it really goes through a whole lot of different emotions. It starts out very dark and reflective. There's a section in the middle that has a lot of anger and almost violence and passion. He returns to this reflective music from the beginning, and at the very end, he ends on a major chord. He didn't write any further program notes about this piece, but for me, it feels significant that he ends on a chord that in music historically represents hope, or it's rather a more positive sounding chord. So you can interpret this music as you wish. For me, this ending represents maybe the resilience of the Indigenous people in the painting, or offers some hope for a more peaceful future. We'll see what it means to you with your experience looking at the painting. And one last musical note. Throughout history, composers have often chosen solo cello as a voice for some of their most intimate and expressive music. That's definitely the case with Bach solo cello suites, if you know that music. And I found when learning this piece that Ian Cussin was really walking in the footsteps of Bach's writing. With his writing for solo cello, there's a lot of double stops so that when the cello plays two strings at once, that allows me to play more than just a melody line. There's a lot of harmony, which adds many layers of tension and expressivity in the music. So a very powerful depiction of this painting. I'll leave you just with the music, La Pietà after Monkman by Ian Cussin.
Thank you.
15 minutes maximum. The washrooms are through the doors, up the short stairs, and then to the left, and we'll convene shortly and enjoy the intermission. Thank you.